Welcome to the Infinite Shores podcast. I'm Luke.
I'm Maria.
And I'm Brandon. And today we're going to talk about an incident in the news recently that's kind of humorous and kind of tragic at the same time. There was a fourth grade boy who brought a plastic one ring, like from Tolkien's Lord of the Rings, and he brought it to school and told one of his friends, "I could put this on your head and it would make you disappear." And, well, most of us would probably just say, okay, that's just a kid being a kid. The teacher apparently kind of freaked out, and the child was suspended from school for a few days for making a terrorist threat. And we've linked the article along with this podcast, so you can go and take a look at it for yourself. But let's talk about this a little bit and just see what we think about this.
Personally, I think it's a little ridiculous. I mean, the kid is using his imagination. I want to give the benefit of the doubt to the teacher, but it's really hard in this instance, at least for me. I don't know, Maria?
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think it was just taken too far. Some teacher got an idea in their head that doesn't seem very accurate or something.
So, I mean, the teacher's contention was that this was a terrorist threat, and I guess the first question maybe that kind of comes in my mind is, does a fourth grader even know what the word terrorist means?
It's true. What I would think more realistically, if this was a bad thing, was you can use imaginative play for bullying. I mean, if this kid is actually bullying someone else and saying, "I'm going to make you disappear so I can't see you," you know, that could be a bullying situation. At least according to what we have in the news article, it doesn't look that way to me. But imaginative play by itself, I suppose it's not right or wrong. It kind of depends on what you're using that imaginative play for.
The idea of it being labeled as a terrorist threat is a bit ridiculous, too, because what sort of an organization is this child going to be a part of? Like, he's not actually going to bring Sauron down on this child. Like, I don't know what sort of... I don't think a terrorist threat is the right word to use in this situation.
Well, you never know. He might be part of the Uruk-hai and just keeping it a secret. It's possible.
From the Google reviews of the school, someone wrote this review of the school in question. "Too many schools take the threat of dark magic flippantly. It's about time we have one who understands the dangers of trifling with magic rings. Sure, they may seem like a fun and innocent way to play lighthearted pranks like erasing the chalkboard mid-lesson or prawling around the cellars of the Elven King's halls. But these things are a slippery slope, and soon enough you're a spectral wraith riding a fell beast to attack the city of Asgiliath and talking back to your parents."
Well, you know, I think that person is absolutely correct, and I mean, I wish more schools would take this kind of thing seriously. Honestly, that's just, I mean, you know, kids these days, the things they get into, gangs and whatnot, bands of orcs, you never know. Okay, well, you know, does this indicate any kind of a concern for parents when it comes to like reading fantasy literature? Like, did this kid take this too seriously, or is there something risky about him acting out what he's seen or read in this story?
Well, at least as far as parents go, I'd say, you know your kids. Like I sort of alluded before, imaginative play by itself isn't right or wrong. It's what you use it for. If the kid is using imaginative play as an excuse to bully, yeah, that's not a good thing. But because of sinful human nature, our sinful natures can find anything as an excuse for sin, whether that's fantasy reading or sports or music lessons.
Well, one of the things I would think is that the only reason, or one of the only reasons I would think it could be a dangerous thing to act out things like this would just be because he's only in fourth grade. I know I was in about third or fourth grade when the Lord of the Rings movies were coming out, and I didn't see any of them because I was terrified of them. Like, there's really scary stuff in those movies, and yeah, I had to be older before I could, like, watch them and not be terrified. So in that way, if a kid's imagining or playing as these characters that might be scary for other kids, then, yeah, maybe some steps should be taken that doesn't happen just to protect what other kids can handle or not handle.
You know, that's a good point, because, and I didn't really think of that too much. The way the news article expressed it was that the dad had just taken his son to see the Hobbit movie kind of just before this, and so it was him sort of acting out what he saw on in the movie. And the way that the dad kind of, you know, the article quoted the dad as sort of saying, well, this is what kids do, they act out on things they've seen. But you raise an interesting point that, is a fourth grader ready to go see The Hobbit or Lord of the Rings? And I mean, I understand that they tried to make The Hobbit movies a little more kid-friendly, but I don't know, having seen them, I don't think they were that much different from the Lord of the Rings ones in that regard.
And every kid is different. Just last week, my children saw Return of the Jedi for the first time. And they handled the first two movies just fine. Got to Return of the Jedi, and the Emperor zaps Luke with Force lightning, all the lightning coming out of his hand. And my kids were terrified of that. And when I was thinking about the movies, that's not a scene I was thinking of. That's something we got to be concerned about. Other kids I know started watching that when they were three, and no big deal.
We watch with my kids, I mean, they've seen the Star Wars movies, the 4, 5, and 6 movies, probably a couple of dozen times each. But we recently let them watch a couple of the prequel movies, the episodes 1 and 2, and we started to watch 3, and then we just decided, you know what, this movie's a lot darker than the other ones, and so we just said, we're not going to watch this with them, it's too soon for them. So we thought maybe we should pull that back and wait a couple more years before they get to see it, which, you know, they were real disappointed, but I think sometimes you just have to disappoint your kids.
So one of the things that we're kind of getting out here is when it comes to imaginative play, you know, trying to pull back to the article, if this fourth grader was doing something age inappropriate and is an imaginative play, that would be a concern. I personally don't think this was age inappropriate as far as the imaginative play. Whether or not the movie was, I'll leave that in the parents' hands. But, you know, if this kid was playing something that's not appropriate for the classroom, okay, we got to watch that then.
Well, don't you think that there's a certain aspect where, I mean, you have to just recognize that kids are what they are, and they're going to play imaginatively regardless of the source material, right? And whether it's Lord of the Rings and the One Ring, or whether it's Harry Potter, or I don't know, I don't even know what else is, you know, superheroes.
My Little Pony. My daughter loves playing My Little Pony.
How do you make My Little Pony into a terrorist thing?
That's a good question. She usually just sings and flies around like she's a pony princess.
Ah, terror!
But yeah, kids will play. And because we still have sinful natures, like I said, that kids will take that, and their sinful natures will use it as an excuse to sin, at least on occasion, for whatever that is. A bully will use their imaginative play as an excuse to bully, whether they're using Lord of the Rings or sports, or I'm feeling a little repetitive. Someone else say something.
Well, I was just thinking about, okay, so if we can kind of agree, I think we all kind of felt like the school obviously kind of took things a little overboard, and it was really kind of funny to me. If you read the article, it's like they mentioned that, oh, this isn't the first time this kid has gotten in trouble, but then when you look at the details of the other times, they are kind of also ridiculous, and you wonder if this school is just really oversensitive or overreactive to things. For instance, I think one of the instances was, like, he got in trouble for bringing a book, like the Big Book of Knowledge, because it had a pregnant woman in it. Well, these are, you know, you'd hope kids by this point would know what a pregnant woman is, you know? Like, yeah, she has a baby. What would have been a better way for this school to handle the situation? What do you guys think?
I think just talking to the child about the way his actions would affect other people, because in what he was doing by itself, I don't really consider wrong. He was just having fun, like acting out a movie he'd seen, but it obviously had an effect on the other kids in his class, so I feel like he just needs to be made aware of how his actions affect other people rather than being punished for it, because I don't really think it was deserving of punishment necessarily, just more of a learning experience.
Yeah, I like that. Take the incident as a learning opportunity. hey, not everyone wants to be told they're invisible. If that's what happened there, if the other kid is scarred for the next 5 minutes because something bad happened, because he might be invisible, yeah, let the imaginative play know, hey, this is what you did here wasn't good. I don't know. I didn't get that feel from the article that other students were traumatized by it, but I suppose it could have been.
What if the teacher had just taken this a different direction, and instead of kind of seeing it as an issue to be addressed, instead saw it as an opportunity for the whole class to understand imaginative play a little bit better? You know what I mean? Like, could it have worked for the teacher to say, oh no, he's got the one ring, what are we going to do about this? You know, and kind of turned it into almost a game for the whole classroom?
I think that would have been fantastic, just to get everyone involved and possibly teach lessons in, hey, teamwork and nobility and all those kind of things. Although, those kind of things don't usually show up on standardized testing, so I'm not sure if the teacher would have been thinking that way, depending on what the teacher's goals were. It was a fantastic idea, though. I mean, encourage these kids, grow those abilities to imagine and reach out and work together in their imaginations.
Okay, so I'm going to come back around then to the issue of fantasy. Is there something, we kind of established that there's nothing inherently wrong with fantasy, it's how you use it. Is there something about fantasy that is maybe special about fantasy in and of itself as a genre that would maybe be good?
I feel like it just opens up children's creativity so much more in ways that other genres can't. If you're going to pretend to be something in the actual world, like pretend to be a cowboy or whatever, you have to follow the rules of, okay, cowboys do these things, so that's how I have to play. But if you're playing imaginatively in the realm of fantasy, you can just do anything you want, and kids can just learn to be so much more creative that way, and I don't think that should be something that's frowned upon, because creativity is something that kids need, something that everyone needs.
Well said. Fantasy just broadens the horizon so much. What do you want to be? A princess? A magician? A sword fighter? A dragon?
Yeah, you know, that's kind of interesting. I remember watching this presentation once where they were talking about a research project they did where they were trying to understand the creativity of younger minds, and they found that kids in kindergarten who were exposed to a lot of more, they didn't say fantasy, but they said more imaginative literature, were more creative overall. And they had this one example of where they were kind of held up, you know, a paperclip, and they said, "What is a paperclip for?" And you know, the kids who didn't have a lot of exposure to literature, and especially imaginative literature, they kind of just said, "It's for holding papers together. It's for, you know, getting the bathroom door unlocked. You know, it's for this kind of thing. You know, real utilitarian type stuff." Whereas there were the kids who were exposed to literature were like, "Well, if it was 20 feet long and made of styrofoam and had wings, it could be a spaceship," you know. And they were just imagining what a paperclip could be if it was different. And I think that's kind of what you were getting at, Maria, is that it just, I mean, it's like it opens up the door for them to come up with exceptions to the rule.
So we want our teachers to encourage imagination because it's good for the kids.
So are we saying that fantasy really is good for kids then because of that?
Yeah, within the bounds that you set, you know, child appropriate and so on. But yeah.
If we were to bridge that just a step further and say, what about from a spiritual perspective, is there something that is inherently good about fantasy for somebody from a spiritual standpoint? Or maybe you guys just don't want to answer that question.
You're making me think. That's dangerous. Don't make me do that. See, this one is harder for me. I just watched a video this morning that talked about how truth equals reality. And when you start dealing with things that are not real, they're lies, in what case is a lie a good thing?
Well, you've been watching The Truth Project, haven't you?
Gasp! Yes! Yes. And so I've got these different things popping around in my head. Is fantasy a lie? Well, it's certainly expressing something that isn't true, but it can be used as a picture of things that are true. We've talked about C.S. Lewis, how he used fantasy to teach things that are so awesome. You can talk about Jesus using parables to teach things that are so much deeper. In fantasy, you can teach, as I mentioned before, nobility and teamwork and so many of those concepts in concrete ways.
And in addition to that, it does all those things, and in a way that seems at times so much more attainable than a lot of other means of teaching. You can teach things just by telling someone a rule, but if it comes with a story, it's that much more likable, almost.
It's something that a person can connect to, and it speaks to something in their imagination that craves, if you will, imaginative expression. I guess I think of it as we are made in the image of our Creator, who is above, well, I shouldn't say above all things, but he is at an equal level to that at which he is all creative. I mean, the fact that he came up with everything, the fact that he came up with the aardvark and the platypus and whatnot, is just evidence enough to me that he's very creative. And so if we're made in his image, then we want to create as well. We have a kind of a craving for that. And so fantasy can kind of speak to that part of us, right? That part of us that reflects our Creator's creativity.
Yes.
Thank you for that definitive answer.
I do what I can.
Excellent. Concluding thoughts?
I think we can say that fantasy is a good thing, and it might need to have some bounds put on it, like you said, for age appropriateness or things like that, but we in no way want to stifle creativity or imaginativeness in children.
Absolutely. In this case, at least what we have here, in my opinion, the teacher overreacted. We want to encourage this imagination in children and get them working together in their imagination. So, yes, you get a kid playing with the One Ring, maybe talk to them about appropriateness, but don't yell at them for using their imagination.
There can be some spiritual good found in fantasy and that sort of thing because it reflects the creative nature of our Creator. You know, that's a gift he's given to us. And as you pointed out, Luke, that sometimes that can be a way of picturing things that he's shown us in his word in a way that we otherwise maybe wouldn't have grasped quite as clearly. You look at the book of Revelation, and what is that other than just a whole book full of picture language? And most of it's fantastical.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, that's about all we have to say about that, I guess. But thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.